Blog Talk Radio.
We gon' start this shit off right. We got badass bitches in the house tonight. We gon' start this shit off right. We got some badass bitches in the house tonight. We gon' start this shit off right. We got some badass bitches in the house tonight. We gon' start this shit off right. We got some badass bitches in the house tonight. We got some badass bitches, badass bitches. Bitches outside and some sad ass bitches. Let go,
let go, let go,
let go. Yeah. Yeah, 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 we got some badass bitches, bitches outside, just some sad ass bitches. Let go, I let go, yeah, I let go, yeah, 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 Ashanti. And made a bunch of fuck around money. Now I feel like found money. I'm fucking awesome, to awesome have a child for me. Got homies who ain't coming home till the cows coming. Niggas with power, they tryna press our power buttons. Now baby make that ass clap like it's proud of me. She said I will like ill with an apostrophe. It's lil, don't you word around on the street that everything is working out like obliques. They wanna see it obese. You driving crazy, you gon' crash the verse. Get out my business, why you act like a clerk? I got a white girl, she call me names like bastard and jerk. That's when I send her ass back to the birds. Fuck the right, good night, die with them. Open. I'm with a big booty bitch dressed inappropriate. Cocaine, baking soda, and some hot water. Kept the fiends coming back to me, not karma. Smiled at my first kilo like a proud father. Smiled at my first judge like I'll be out tomorrow. Keep the Glock on them. All eyes on me, I had a pop moment. This a man in fresh beat and I go pop on it. My homeboy's proud of me like Barack homie. Your homeboy's tired of me, I hope they die on it. Leave your house haunted, I ain't kidding, I ain't playing. Fuck up your house party, Lil, don't you?
So DJ, won't you play some more songs? Cause we ain't got nowhere to go but home. And we ain't got nowhere to go but wrong. Oh, 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 oh. So DJ, won't you play some more songs? We ain't got nowhere to go but home.
Just a watch and a mink coat, yeah. Wherever I spit at a tree grow. I'm a blood with some C-notes. And I'm getting more checks than a peephole, yeah. I done been through hell and back on a steamboat. Met the devil, came back feeling flea, yo. Gang banging, tatted up like Latinos. And since I'm on my Spanish, shit is called a cinco. Mommy is bionic and bisexual, bilingual. Mommy is a goddess, but she got a little wing show. Mommy tryna fuck me with her team, that's a team sport. All these bad bitches in this bitch, but I ain't seen yours. Muscle car look like I just got out the bing, whoa. Drop the top, smell like I just opened a weed store. A nice beat mixed with Tunchi like a cream float. With Manny first the OG, now it's a G, yo. Squad in the bitch, cause it pop off. Fresh, can you please tell these niggas I've been rich since the high boy? Yeah. Badass dog by the screen door. Your girl walking around my house playing nothing but my watch and my mink coat. Yeah. Now everybody throw a five, cry the cinco. And since I'm on my Spanish, it's the mother boy's finito. We gon' start this shit off right. We got badass bitches in the house tonight. We gon' start this shit off right. We got some badass bitches in the house tonight. We got some badass bitches, some badass bitches. Bitches outside, there's some badass bitches. Let go. Yeah, 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 yeah,
yeah. We got some badass bitches, some badass bitches. In the restroom, in the mirror, taking pictures. Alright, yeah, that's alright, yeah. Alright, yeah. We got some badass bitches, some badass bitches. Couple niggas tripping me, mugging, making fists. It's alright, it's alright. But we don't fight, no.
Yo, that's what's up right there. Check it out. The Author's Lounge is about to be live. The author, Hezzy, and co-host, Moner, artistically collide to bring you inside the minds of some of the literary community's dopest. Scribe. Ride the Drip the Mic train into another week of insane interviews, and you will be entertained by well-thought-out views induced by two voices infused, Mona and Hezzy on the ones and twos. Airwave views are places of privilege, and we choose not to abuse. So if sip wine is what you do, or maybe you take a puff or two, share, we don't care what you do. I would let the Author's Lounge chill with you. It's thoughts we wish to spill with you. We instill in you only positive energy that spreads like electricity because we do it authentically, like it's meant to be. Yo, we are family. And that's just what's up. Drip the Mic presents the Author's Lounge. Hey, morning. Hey, yo. Pull up.
Whoa, 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 what's happening every time? Whoa, 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 what's happening, everybody? And welcome to the Author's Lounge. And I am your host, Author Hezzy. And let me introduce to you my co-host, Miss Mona.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm fine. Welcome back.
That's cool. Yeah, right. I'm trying to tell you, girl. Busy, man. I'm trying to tell you. Busy. I don't catch a break.
Right.
And let me tell you how the devil works, too. So, all today, my phone has been black screen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, black screen, nothing. Can't call out, can't do nothing.
What did you do? You dropped it or something?
I don't know what I did. I must have sat on it while I was eating.
You sat? What? Oh God! All right, I ain't even gonna touch that. What the hell?
I'm like freaking out, you know. So today I just went on and ordered me a laptop.
Oh, okay.
For certain situations like this, but it's gonna be a good night.
What kind of laptop do you get?
It's a Dell.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you can't go wrong with a Dell.
Yeah, it's a Dell. So it'll be here next Tuesday. At, I don't know, 5 o'clock. But other than that, I'm doing good. So how are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm trying to get some stories written.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get some. I got a couple releases coming. I got a couple projects coming. I just revamped my publishing company. I renamed it, and I have a new business partner, and we just signed 4 new authors where I just sent 3 more contracts out today. So we're about to have 4, 5, 6, 7 7 authors signed within like a month and a half of revamping this company. So, yay, I'm happy.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. And then I also have a project, and, you know, you're part of that project. We also have a project, like an anthology, you know, coming up. So I'm really excited about that. I just need to really get the authors. I feel like the authors are not excited. You know, I'm not feeling no enthusiasm.
Hey, man, hey.
We're supposed to be writing
erotica,
so erotica is supposed to, you know, get you hyped up.
Hey, some of us ain't getting none, so we ain't got nothing erotica to write about yet. But
Well, you know, I'm a part of the anthology. I'm collaborating, actually, with my business partner. We decided to collaborate. And I'm actually having fun writing, you know, this because I'm living vicariously through my character.
You know, I got to have a participant. Let me stop. But I want to also let the world know that the Author's Lounge was nominated for Internet Radio.
Yay!
Of the year. Woo-hoo. So if anybody, by S&M Gospel Indie Awards, so if anybody out there, go vote for the Author's Lounge Internet Radio Show of the Year. And I got nominated for Author of the Year. But
awesome.
Yeah, this is great, great. And we're also going to be interviewing at the function, at the awards show also.
Okay,
we're
going to
do red carpet.
So this is the function that you had asked me if I would be available to go to. It's going to be where in Philly, you said?
It's going to be in Charlotte.
And Charlotte, North Carolina. Yeah, so unfortunately,
yeah.
I'm going to be in Jamaica. I know.
And I'm going to be part of the event. So I have a special co-host who's just happy. She's going to be doing it. She's going to be walking around with the mic and filming and doing all that. So that's going to be a great opportunity. But we don't want to hold a guest, though, because we got 3 guests tonight.
Okay.
Powerful guests. Our first guest. I met this lady. She was a part of my movie, The Player, based on the book that I wrote. And let me tell you, when I said this woman acted, she did her thing. But I'm not going to keep everybody waiting any longer. Is Miss Kelly Richards in the building?
Hey, everybody. How y'all doing?
Hey, what's up, girl?
Congratulations, too, on everything. I'm just sitting here listening. I'm like, dang, I thought I was congratulating you for everything else, and you just keep coming. Congratulations.
Thank you. So how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Shoot, I'm on a little radio show. I can't do nothing better. I'm sitting in the bed.
that's what's up.
I can't complain.
That's what's up. So go ahead and tell the world a little bit about yourself. I was going to read your bio, but I'm going to let them know who you are and what you do.
Okay, well, I'm Lady, and I've been acting for probably about going on 11 years now, 11, 12 years.
Wow.
And it was crazy. I knew, growing up, I just wanted to be in any type of, like, performance. When I started out in music, I was, like, a serious band geek. Like, I played every instrument you can think of. Started with the clarinet, then the saxophone. And then when I was trying to get that, move forward, like, a clarinet, and they like, no, we got everybody want to do wood. We need some brass instruments. And,
can I tell you something?
Mm-hmm.
When I tried to play an instrument, they told me my lips was too big. I couldn't play the saxophone, the trumpet, or the clarinet. He put me on the trombone.
You want to play like the baritone? They give you like a big instrument?
Yeah, he said your lips too big. You got to play the trombone.
I played the trombone too. The trumpet was my favorite one. That's my all time favorite instrument. I actually won John Philip Sousa Award for that instrument. I played the trombone. I played the baritone. I played everything. I'm kind of self teaching with the piano a little bit. That's one I wish I could really play more. But yeah, I was a serious band geek. But then I just I went out somewhere with a friend. They were acting.
Mm-hmm.
And being nosy. And it was just like, oh, y'all should do this, y'all should do that. And they was like, what's your producer? I was like, I could be. And after that was it. They put me in a film, one of the next films, and that was it. That was all she wrote. And I just started doing theater. And
wow.
I went for one of my first plays. And with what it was, they was looking for a white actress for the role that I went after, and they didn't put that in the description. So when I went, they liked my performance so much. It was a role for a man who was the minister, and they ended up rewriting the script to give me that role because they didn't, they just wanted me in that role. And I ended up for that particular play, I ended up winning Best Actress, Supporting Actress for DC Metro Theater Arts. So, and I was like really excited for that to be like my first, theater.
Yeah.
It was, yeah. So I've been, doing some big things, and, where I met you, through Andre, she just, just been a huge blessing. 21, I started the year off with 5 films. Leading roles, everything. It's just been amazing. And I'm also a trained chef, and I have a catering
cook.
Cook.
I love to eat.
Everybody talk about their grandmamas and everything today. They're like, all right, I done got grandma's approval. So
okay.
I'm... So I got a business. It's called Gems Bistro. And within about the next 3 to 6 months, I'm trying to sell my house. I'm packing up, moving to Atlanta.
Don't come down here bothering me.
Look, I'm going to be knocking on your door first because I'm trying to be in a play part two. You hear me?
Girl, I'm trying to tell you. You know what, though?
I'm really trying to do this one with the Invisible Woman, and I think I got a perfect part for you.
All right, ma'am. Look, all you have to set me up. I'm always ready.
So lead us when you read the script to the player, how did you feel?
So when I read the script, it's always different when you go on set. You can read the script and it'd be different on set. So I wasn't expecting all the raunchiness, right?
I'm like, damn, this wasn't in the script. This didn't say I had to do all of it.
Oh my god.
Do you know we had a file? Oh my goodness.
I was like, man, I'm glad I wore like some cute little drawers, everything y'all did a lot. Like, and you know, good thing that the actor, he was, you know, he was nice on the eye, so that helped out too. But I was a bit taken aback. I was like, oh damn, I've done a little, you know, little smooching here and there, you know, you can kind of fake it on the screen, but this one right here was it kind of really took me out of my element. But I always do, like, this was something I want to do. Now I done seen the baddest ones on screen done put their all into it, so I'm ready to put my all into it. You know what I'm saying? You give me somebody good to work with, I'm gonna give you a good show.
Hey,
I hope you know what's so funny though.
It was so funny because the man from Law, we're in the other room. We like, man, I wonder what she's doing.
I know. People was like,
it sounded a little hot back there. You can hear shit knocking over. I was like, oh my God. I was like, I'm a little nervous when I see this one on screen.
And I have to tell you, you played the part dead on. I'm like, you couldn't pick no better actors to play the roles that was played. Because, like, you know, the first three that we had that was originally going to play it, they was okay, but they didn't bring, to me, they wouldn't have been as original as you all was.
I appreciate that. That's why you should have called me first. That's what you
mean. You know, they was like, we don't know if we want to do the raunchy scene. I'm like, oh, nope. Because that's the book.
They hit me when I got there. I was like, ooh, I knew it was like sexy, you know. I can do sexy. I was like, damn, I gotta be like bedroom sexy, like on top of the counter, like damn. Okay,
that's what I'm talking about. I'm trying to tell you,
it's called, the play is, it should have been called The Freak for real. It was hot. It was hot. But I like I said, I enjoyed it, you know. It was fun. It was a lot of retakes. I think y'all was trying to have too much fun, but it was cool.
Girl, when you finish reading the book, you'll see why, but
look, I'm in the beginning on chapter 4 and I was like, this man here, you make it. Like, he, I'm gonna keep reading. I'm gonna keep reading because you a mess. You a mess. But I like the transparency. You know, I read all them types of books growing up, all these nasty books. But I'm really, really excited. I'm just super proud of you. Like, just hearing your story and knowing where you came from, and I'm just grateful that, you know, you chose me to be a part of this. I really do appreciate it.
Yes. So tell us, what do you have planned this year, you know, and next year? What's your goals and plans?
My goal is to get this business completely off the ground with my food. I'm trying to work on this truck. Depending on what the opportunities I see in Atlanta, I don't know, that's not my area. So right now, I want to say I'm working on this food truck. I'm speaking into existence. God got me. I'm planning on retiring in the next 2 years because I want to fire my job. I've been working for the federal government going on 18 years, and I'm just done. They don't deserve me, so I'm trying to fire them. And I'm giving myself two more years. So that's what that was.
I thought you was going to have that food truck ready because I'm going to be in Atlanta in July. I'm coming to the kickback.
I'm trying to be in Atlanta by July too, girl. So let's just pray on it. Even if we're still cooking in the kitchen. So the truck is not stopping me. We still catering.
Well, I'll be there. I'll get your information when you when the interview's over because I'm gonna be in Atlanta. You know, I'm always looking for good food when I get to Atlanta.
Oh, most definitely,
we need to get some flyers made up too. That way we can start passing them up before you even get here.
Link up with me and help me out, man. You know, we got to teach one.
Oh yeah, I'll be there. I'll help. I don't mind helping.
Most definitely. Like we do everything. Everything from scratch. We make our own sauces. I make my own seasoning. Everything.
What I'm trying to
get my cornbread muffins in these stores and all my seasons and everything.
Oh my god, you're making me hungry.
The cornbread muffins is the signature thing. I don't know what it is about these muffins, but everybody goes for the muffins.
Man, oh my god, and I love me some muffin. I love cornbread muffin. I love it warmed up, put some butter on top, and then melt into the cornbread. Oh my god,
yes.
I don't do butter. I don't do butter. I don't do mayonnaise. I don't do ranch.
You know what tastes good? It's called real butter. It says real butter. It's like real white. It comes like in a like bowl. It's so good. It's so real good butter. You know what I'm talking about?
I've heard of it, but I've never used that. I have to try.
I can't believe it's not butter.
That's not butter. It's not. Yeah. And it's fattening. And that real butter is less fat. It has less fat in it. I mean, butter's not good for you all together, but that real butter is delicious. Oh my god! And when you put it on top of muffin. Sometimes you put it on your toast and it melts into the toast. Yes. Oh my god! Good. Ooh, no. I love it.
I'm a meat eater. I just like meat.
Well, I'm trying to cut meat for my diet, but I'm definitely cutting red meat for my diet. I still eat chicken and turkey and fish. I'm a seafood person.
I'm a big seafood person.
Do you make seafood?
Yes, we do crab cake, lobster pasta, all that. Seafood, mac and cheese. We cook whatever you eat. Cook like
man, you better give me your phone number because when I get to Atlanta, when I touch down, I will be calling you.
I got you because I am in the process now of packing up and when I'm getting get my showings done so I can get it sold and I'm on the road.
Okay, so what are you trying to do with your acting career, Miss Chef?
Well, whatever's jumping off first and walking through this door, I'm trying to take myself all the way to the top. I want substance roles. At this point, I'm not big, but I'm not just doing anything now at this point. So,
exactly.
You know what I'm saying? It has to mean something. It has to represent, you know, what I am, what I believe in. And I'm just, you know, I'm letting God do it. I'm not a big religious person, but I heard you can't really be making too many plans. So I'm just letting God lead the way. And so far, it's been good, and I've been blessed. And it's, you know, I'm still young, and this is a field where we can take this as, what, Cicely Tyson is about 99 years old. So I'm going to keep this moving. I'm going to definitely keep this moving and take this as far as I can. I'm trying to be on the real big screens. I need my name known for everything, for all of the many hats that I wear and, you know, be that person.
So how can the fans get in touch with you?
So we're on Instagram. Yes, Instagram is Miss Lady, MissLady, the number 2 and the letter U. And we also have a Instagram food page. That's Gems Bistro, GEMZBEASTRO. And mm-hmm. Facebook, Lady Richard.
All right. And also, I will be promoting you on the show to your food truck and everything, so we can get out there so I can start giving people a heads up.
Oh, I appreciate that.
I'm going on Facebook right now to save you. Lady Richard on Facebook?
Lady Richard, yes. And on Instagram is Miss Lady to You.
Miss Lady to You.
Lady
okay.
to
I'm
You.
I'm about to stop following you.
I had to clean up my pages because they was talking about, you know, I had to go on shows and stuff, and I can't tell them go to my Twitter, be Freaky Zeke, and they be like, oh, Lord. So I had
to.
Oh,
that's Freaky Zeke. Lock them up.
I had to clean that up because, you know, every show I go on, they be like, so what's your Twitter? I'm like, oh, Lord, you know. I'm doing still like, oh my goodness, you know. But I mean, but it's crazy, you know, when you get in the entertainment business, and you got to watch some of the stuff that you say or do. And I'm like, man, I like to be unfiltered. You know, I like to be just me.
I mean, that's the best way for real. At the end of the day, everybody not gonna like you, so why not be you?
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
We see you next Sunday.
Yeah.
It's like it's so crazy trying to satisfy people.
Yeah, you
know. So, growing up, did you ever think that you wanted to be an actress or a chef? You probably stayed at grandma's house, because I know you was cooking. Did you go out?
Still there?
Yeah, my bad.
You
so, no, I started cooking because my mother didn't cook.
Ah,
so,
gotcha.
Really?
She was the, you know, the good day she had cooked maybe some bacon and eggs. She might fry some chicken, but I like different stuff. I used to watch the cooking shows. I used to watch Emil. And I was like, damn, I wanted to be like, bam, and I wanted to try all that stuff. So I used to, you know, be in the kitchen and stuff like that. But growing up, I really thought, like, for real, I thought I was going to be in the WNBA. I played basketball.
Okay.
I really thought I was going to get the WNBA. Yeah, you couldn't tell me nothing. But then Asma got the best of me and all that stuff. It was like, all right, so next, on to the next thing, because I was tired of fighting that, and it wasn't really working when I was trying in high school and everything. So that's when I was, you know, was just doing the cooking thing with culinary school. But it wasn't really, like, supported, so it kind of brought me down. Even the acting wasn't really, you know, I feel like I could have been further there, but it wasn't really supported. But I just really just decided to just start living for me and doing what I wanted to do. And that's just what it's been. You know, my mother, you know, they always say everybody want to be famous, everybody want to do this, and you need to go to school and do this, and that's what I thought I was, you know, going to try.
So growing up, who was your inspiration growing up?
As far as acting?
Yeah, who was like a role model to you and inspired you to do some of the things that you was doing?
I'm so mad that I even got to say this now, because growing up, one of my favorite actresses was Jada Pinkett.
Oh, my girl, I was in love with Jada.
She was in. Like, I'm so mad I got to even speak about her now, because it's just,
man,
wow.
Man.
But
that
minute
since
like,
the time,
that
I was in love.
It was too much. Like, compared me, like, saying I look like her when I had my little twist in my head from Set It Off and stuff like that. Like, Low Down Dirty Shame was my favorite all-time movie. Like, I really, really love
I'm
her.
Have to watch
she seems so real. So I was like, yeah, that's, I want to be like her.
I loved her ministering to society. I thought that was the most beautiful woman on them eyes. I was like, man, I'm
changed. Yeah. And she was just so little and so feisty. It's like, she was nothing. And I was like,
just beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah,
she was
undercover.
Freaking and geeky. I got to behave today. I got to behave. We got the pastor coming on later on. She going to get me in check.
Oh, my God.
Yes, indeed. Oh, my goodness. Oh, Jaya. You know they say Hollywood changes.
So I see.
You know they say Hollywood changed you.
Yeah, it couldn't have been me. It couldn't have been me.
I'm so excited that the movie is finally coming out in a few weeks. I'm super excited.
I am too. Are you ready?
Oh, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready.
Well, yeah,
but no, I like it because. You know, it's different. You know, I don't have nothing against hood movies, but it really captured my imagination and what I really wanted to see on screen. It's not hood. It's romantic. It's sexy. And that's what I wanted. You know what I'm... Yeah, definitely. I might have to close my eyes when I watch it. Nah, let me see. But yeah, I was just so excited. So, do you have any movies that you plan on doing this year?
Not so far. I've been like hand deep with the food and working on the move. I didn't really want to commit to anything, and I know I'm moving. So I wanted to get settled, you know, in Atlanta and then pick.
So you're going to be like on a shot. You're going to have that food truck. What you going to name it?
Yeah. It's going to be Jam Bistro.
Okay. Okay.
Yes, Jam Bistro.
All right. I'm ready for that. I'm hungry. Man, I just ate, too.
I tell y'all, I'm not ready. When I get here. I'm going to call y'all first so y'all can be the first to tell everybody.
I'm bringing
right.
Some things.
Oh, I will. I even got the kids' approval. See, you ain't seen the recordings you made? They had the seafood mac and cheese? Yeah.
Oh, you got seafood mac and cheese? What? Oh, my. Mm-hmm. I don't even like mac and cheese. Ooh. But you got seafood, you know, I'm eating.
Oh, my God. Oh, I love me some seafood mac and cheese.
Man.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you're not ready for this. I will definitely keep y'all posted.
Oh, yes. I'll be, and then, you know, the kickback is free to the public. It's the 16th. I think the actual day is the 17th, but most authors fly in on the 16th.
Yeah, I heard about that. I was going. I might go.
Yeah, I haven't. The last time I was at the kickback was years ago. The last time I was at the kick, this is how long it's been, the Gladys Knight, because I heard it's closed now, the Gladys Knight restaurant.
But see,
it's closed now, right? Are they closed now?
Yeah, that's closed. The sun was embezzling funds.
Oh, wow, really? That's how they closed?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Oh,
he was sneaking and geeking. He was sneaking and geeking.
Wow.
You gotta be here to hear all the news. Believe me, I've been here for 4 years and I've heard all the news.
Oh, wow. I heard they were closed that right, because I was saying, oh, when I go back to Atlanta, I go to the Gladys Knight restaurant. It was like, oh, that's closed. That's been closed.
Hey, they used to say Bobby Brown used to just pull up to the block in the limo.
No.
And get everybody's foot. Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
He'd be there all night long.
Wow. That's crazy.
See, y'all see the Atlanta on the TV. I see the Atlanta for what it is. I'm on the outskirts, man.
What part of Atlanta are you in? What part of Georgia you in?
I'm in the outskirts of it. I'm surrounded by it. I'm not in there. I'm in a little community.
Okay. So what's like this area? Because I've been looking at a few.
Outskirts. You got Sandy Springs. You got Dunwoody. You got Sandy Springs, Dunwoody. You got Marietta. You got Smyrna. All them surrounds Atlanta. There's the good parts.
So what y'all think about Douglasville?
Douglasville is that's nice. That's what six. Okay. Douglasville is nice. Yeah, Douglasville is real nice.
Yeah, I was looking at that.
Connors is nice. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I would definitely.
Downtown is hood.
Yeah, I'm not going downtown. I'm leaving
the
hood. I'm not trying to come back. I'm not going downtown.
That's
I just want Disney.
Yeah. Downtown is the trap. Everybody be like, man, I can't wait to visit Atlanta. I'll be like, oh, God, here we go. I'm trying to get out of Atlanta.
Mm-mm-mm. That's what I hear. People like, man, everybody coming to Atlanta. I'm trying to leave. Well,
yeah, for real. About another couple of months, I think I'm moving.
Where you going?
I don't know yet. Whatever the wind may blow. Wherever the wind may blow. You know, they also having a big Black Book Festival in Houston, Texas. And Hillary from the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is going to be there.
The new one, the Bel-Air series?
No, the old one. She's the number one best-selling author.
Yeah, she's an author. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I got them. They sent me an email the other day. I always get the little news of where the author's going to be or the big-time entertaining author's going to be. They sent me a little email because they be trying to get me to pay $300 to be promoted. I don't see it. Maybe one day.
That's what's up, though.
Yeah, yeah, but she's going to be there, so I'm thinking about going to that festival.
I mean, you should. That's a good look.
Yeah. Maybe slide her one of my books. She might give me a call one day.
You never know. You never know. Word
I'm gonna be like, here's my number. You either use or play the lottery. Either way, it's a win-win for you.
Yep.
Let me behave. Y'all got me acting crazy.
What's that?
Well, I want to thank you, Ms. Richards, for coming on the show. I'm not going to hold you for 30 minutes, and I did. But before you go, let the audience know one more time your social media, all that, so they can follow you.
Okay, one more time on IG. It's Miss Lady to You. That's MISSLADI, the number 2 letter U. Lady Richards on Facebook, and also show love to Gem Bistro, Facebook, and IG. That's GEMZBEASTRO. Thank y'all so much.
Thank you.
Have a good one, and I will talk to you when I finish reading these books, sir.
Okay.
I will definitely give my honest opinion.
Thank you again. That made my day.
I appreciate you. Y'all have
you
a
too.
Good evening.
You too.
And I will hit you up.
I appreciate you. Y'all have a good one. Bless you.
All right. Good night.
That was actress Marta.
Yes.
And chef.
She got me hungry.
See, our next guest, she is a powerful. Well, before I do that, you are listening to the Author's Lounge, presented by Drip the Mic. The call-in number is 646-378-0355. Press 1 to speak. We're on every Tuesday from 7 to 9. And thank you. But our next guest, oh, my goodness, she is a powerful singer. She's been singing since she's been 7 years old. She's been Apollo, Idol, whatever you say, she can sing, and her voice is beautiful. Introducing to the Office Lounge, Miss Sapphire. How are you?
Welcome. I'm good. How are you?
What's up? I'm good. It's nice to hear your voice.
You too.
So, tell us a little, who was your inspiration singing growing up?
My mom was my inspiration. I grew up singing in church, so I was listening to all the gospel singers singing. So I started singing at a young age at 7.
Wow. Man, and I can't carry a tune.
Everybody a little bit.
No, not a little bit. I might can do one tune. That's about it. So, now that you're starting to singing, are you trying to, do you want that to be a career in singing?
Yes, I will hope so. Later mm-hmm. in life.
Later in life. Hey, you never know. You might could do it right now. You never know.
Yes, sooner than later.
But you know, since we have you on this show, to sing that we got to hear a little bit. Just a little bit, not much.
Wow. I don't even know what to sing.
You can sing anything. I know you got songs you be singing in the shower, on the bus, anywhere.
Let's see. I'm going to sing a gospel song. Let's see. I lift my hands in total admiration to you reign on the throne, for you are God and God because of you, my cloudy days are gone. And I can sing to you this song. I just want to say that I love you more than anything. That's what I got for you.
Oh, that is beautiful.
Thank you.
Hezekiah.
Wow. Wow is all I can say. You have a beautiful voice. You do. You have a beautiful voice.
Yes, amazing.
So do you sing a lot on your social media?
Yes, I do. I post a video about 3 times a month. I'm trying to post every day. I'm trying to get you to post it every week.
So do you have any contests that you got coming up and stuff like that?
I actually sing in Raleigh on Thursday night.
Oh.
It's an event called Taco Tuesday on a Thursday. That's what they call it.
Okay.
But, yeah, I sing on Thursday nights. Those are the only events that I've been doing here lately.
Wow. Hey, but shoot, that's still good. So give the people your social media so they can reach out and see what you got. Never know.
My Instagram is gorgeous. It's a G.O.D.E.U.S. _.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Instagram. Right.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad you could come on the show. Y'all know that my books was inspired by Miss Sapphire. I'm just going to put that out there. She told me not to say anything, but you know. she was one of the leading women in my book.
I had a feeling you were going to do that. I had a feeling.
But no. She's awesome, man. She has a beautiful voice that's going to take her somewhere. I'm just proud to have met her. She's real genuine and sweet. And it's amazing. How did your family take you as being a singer, and was your mama surprised that you could sing that well?
I'm sure she was surprised, but my mom and her dad is a singer, so it's kind of a line of singers. So I can sing, my sister can sing, and one of my brothers can sing. So I just got a family of singers.
Man, y'all might as well start up an old group then.
Right. You don't really see much of group singers here lately, though.
No, you don't see no singers here lately. Can't nobody sing. I mean, well, they can sing, but they're not really. I don't know what happened to R&B. It just went away.
Yeah.
You know, that's like a lost art right now. After R. Kelly, there is none. and you know where he's at. So, I mean, like, there is none.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
You know. So it's crazy. So, you know, you should think about putting out a little CD or something.
Yeah, I am thinking about it. I just got to find the right studio to go to. And also, I got to start writing music.
I got a studio in Atlanta.
Okay.
I mean, I do.
Going up there to the studio.
Yeah, it's real cheap. It's not expensive at all. It's not expensive at all. It's the cheapest studio you ever find to do what you have to do.
Wow, I might have to come up there.
And, yeah, you should come visit. And I have another thing for you. I haven't actually posted my player soundtrack yet. If you can give me something that you did, like a whole song, I can put you on the soundtrack so the whole world can hear Miss Sapphire.
Okay. And that's like in the back for the movie, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. I can do that.
Yes. How you doing, Ms. Co-host? You have any questions?
No, not at the moment. Not at the moment. I was trying to. just give me a second, but go ahead, continue. I was thinking of something. Don't mind me. I'm sorry. But you have a beautiful voice, though.
Thank you.
You have
a beautiful
voice, yes.
You know how it took me a long time to get her to sing?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it did.
Wait, so did you, I'm sorry, you might have mentioned that already. So pardon me if I'm repeating a question that was probably asked already, but did you start singing like in church, like as a child? Like how old were you when you started singing? And
I'm 7 years old. Yep,
okay.
And I was in church and we had a little choir. My mom was the director, so I was basically made to sing if I didn't want to sing. She brought it out of me.
Well, my mom and them made me sing on the choir. They ain't never bring it out of me.
Well, oh my God. Oh wow. I'm sure she did. Well, you know what? It's I always wanted to sing. I always wish I could sing. I just don't have I never had the voice for it. But I love to sing. You know,
and
I just, you know, I would still sing. It never discouraged me. Even when I had tryout for the choir when I was in the fourth grade, and we had to kind of like do an audition for the music teacher to join the choir, but what she did was have everybody sing together. I don't know how you have, you know, kids auditioning. So why not have them sing individually? But either way, you know, she was able to pick out. Either way, she was able to pick out the weakest link, which was me, because I was so off key. And she was like, "Stop! Somebody's off key." And she was like, "Let's try this again." And then, "Wait, stop! Somebody's off key."
Oh no!
You know what's so funny, Mona and Sapphire? Mm-hmm. I love music. I love everything about music. I know how to tell if it's good music or if it's bad music or if it's horrific music. But I'm so musically, and I can't do no music, nothing.
Right.
They put me in piano lessons. Oh, my God, I hated it. Like, oh, nope, I'm not doing this. They put me in a choir. I used to try to get in trouble so I didn't have to sing.
Mm-hmm.
Then I have to play the trombone. I got to read music. I don't want to read music. I'm like, no.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
That's the only instrument I have is my voice, because I took piano lessons too. My mom tried to put me in piano lesson class. I didn't learn nothing. I was taking it for about 3 months. I didn't learn anything.
You know, I think sometimes God didn't intend for us to, you know, everybody has their own talents or whatever. I'd be hell on wheels if I had a little extra music in talent. It'd be trouble. So he's like, nope, I can't get this boy right here. No, nothing like that. Nope. Go ahead.
I do think you could be trained to sing, though. I have seen somebody who could not sing in the beginning, and they was getting trained by a vocal teacher, and then they was able to sing. I mean, not real good, but they was able to sing better at the end.
Man, I done seen people that can't sing and got an album and stuff like that. I'm like, dude, how you get an album? You can't even sing. Yeah, I guess it's who you know.
Yep, it is.
Shoot, I might try to carry a tune. I'm going to be like Jodeci the Dozen.
Go and get your apple.
No, ma'am.
Y'all can be on the apple.
I can carry a little note now. And then. But I got to be in a good mood. I got to be in a happy, cheerful mood. I got to have a little extra drinks in me, and I'll be ready. I'll be good. Let's sing. But I'm not. I can't do it.
Right.
So what is your goals and your plans for the next couple of years?
With singing?
Yeah. Or whatever you want to do. What else you want to do?
Well, my goals with singing would be to get a vocal coach. Start writing music, create a couple of songs for myself, and get me an album and let the world hear my voice.
That's great. So what are some of the hobbies that you have other than singing?
I don't really got no hobbies. I like it. I like reading.
Okay.
I don't really got no good hobbies, though.
Okay. Well, it was nice of you to come on the show.
I got a free notebook.
Really?
Yep, I have to finish reading your book.
Oh, you started?
See what you done put it.
It's nothing bad. You know I wouldn't do that. it's actually a good book. And it serves your name very well.
All right now.
Yes. But
thank
you for being on the show. No problem. Thank you for coming on with your beautiful voice.
Yes.
Thank you.
That was Miss Sapphire, y'all.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us.
All right.
All right. Have a good night.
Y'all too.
All right. Good night.
Miss Mona. Has to be everywhere.
I think, was I going in and out? I think my voice is going in and out. I think.
It's okay.
No, you're
doing fine.
Okay.
You're doing fine. We're going to take a quick break while I give out to the stations some props. I want to give a shout out to Drip the Mic, who is presenting this show tonight. The call-in number is 646-378-0355. Press 1 to speak. And coming up, this powerful lady, wow, she has an amazing story to tell. And man, when I was reading her story, it kind of brought tears to my eyes at the same time. It's like she is the definition of a strong black woman. And I haven't interviewed many Christian or pastors that are women. And just meeting this lady and coming together, we are also going in business together, which is a great thing, you know, collaborating. And I'm the crazy one, but you know, the young one is all over the place. But it's going to be amazing what business that we're going to start, you know, to help all the authors in publishing their works. Well, they're going to publish their own works, but we're going to give them a push, you know, but at the same time, just, you know, helping independent and new authors out is one of the things that we're trying to do. But when talking to this lady and listening to her story and, man, just how she does it and gets up every day, still has a smile on her face, it is truly amazing. And I want to introduce to y'all Pastor, author, Tamala Lucas. Are you there?
Yes.
Ooh-wee! I got that number to work, little girl.
You sure did. Thank you.
How are you tonight?
I am so happy and excited to be here.
We're glad you're here.
Well, welcome. Hi, how are you?
Thank you.
This is my co-host, Miss Mona.
Hello.
Hi,
how
Mona.
Are you? Hi.
I'm doing good.
Hi. Great.
So, Mr. Lucas, go ahead and tell the world a little bit about yourself. Give them a little bit of your bio and your background.
Okay, I'm the oldest out of five. At the age of 20, I became an infant mother because when my mother died, I ran downtown and got the guardianship papers so I can, you know, take care of my brothers and sisters. I raised them, every single one of them successful. My children, I birthed three children. They've grown. Everybody's grown. Everybody is successful. Glory be to God. It took God to do it. Two of my children that I birthed are deaf. And I told them as little bitty people, I said, let me tell you this. You live in a world they don't care if you're deaf. So you're going to have to learn how to do everything on your own right now. And a lot of people, they look at my children, they at awe or they're shocked because here are these deaf adults traveling all over the world with nobody and driving and doing everything. They work and they love the work, and they just stay busy, and they like, what? But that's how I trained them.
Yeah. So. That is amazing.
So growing up, was church a big part of your family growing up?
Always. From the time I can walk, we always been in church. Now, was we in the same religion? No.
Yes.
And, you know, that's how we was growing up. Now, see, that's and I can identify with what you're saying, because mostly in a black home growing up, we go through different denominations. And the funny thing is, like, some stick with it and get this Jesus thing, as like in others like me, what I was seeing in my household, it made me kind of turn away from the God that we was going to church to hear about and stuff like that, and to turn away from religion.
It sure can. It can be disturbed sometimes.
So how did you keep that focus, that in between?
Before my mother left this world, I saw the what she put in me, and she trained me, and then God too, you know, He put stuff in us, a drive that can't nobody take away from us. You know, you could be in the same household and be different from all your brothers and sisters, because that's what He placed in you.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the age of 9, I was already preaching. I was preaching to my teddy bears.
Okay, good. Woo. Okay.
So it was just in me. That's all I know.
and see, like you was doing that, like me growing up, I always knew I was different. But the person they always wanted me to be, I didn't want to be that person. They always were saying, "When you're going to be a preacher." And I've tried my darnest not to be close to that. Or they wanted me to be this and that, but I was always different. At an early age, I had deja vu. I could see future events happen. And when it came back around, I would get an upset stomach or something like that. And I never realized that. I was like, man, what is this? You know, I could see into the future something happening. When it happened, it was like deja vu.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of pushed away from the church because, you know, domestic violence was in the house. And I was thought we didn't have a loving God. This God that we're going to pray to, and you're going to hell because you're a sinner and this and that. And I just wanted to be my own man. So with you preaching to your teddy bears in your household, how was it with your religion and how y'all portrayed religion?
We started off as Seventh-day Adventists. And then when my mother didn't have transportation, we went to the Catholic church because it was up the street. And they took very good care of us, because before we moved to this one particular area, we was homeless. So we were staying in a shelter, Salvation Army shelter. For a minute. And then we finally got a place, and up the street from the place was the Catholic church. And I'm telling you, we did not have anything in the house. And one day somebody knocked on the door. They furnished our whole apartment. I mean, living room, food, dinette, bedroom. They fill up the refrigerator, the cabinets. And I said, man, I'm telling you, if anybody said that there is not a God, I don't know what world they live in, because we did not know these people. But they furnished the whole apartment for us. And that just encouraged me, you know, just we got to learn how to help somebody. And then we got to have discernment, too, to know the difference between helping somebody and not being used. Because some people will use you, and they're not there to do right by you. They just want to use you. So we got to have discernment in that.
I found that out in this book business, believe me. 5 books later. I'm telling you. So You know what's so great about this show right here? We know you're an author, but we want to know the person behind the book.
The person behind is the book. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
You okay? You're so right. Tell us about Miss Tamala. What makes Miss Tamala thrive? What makes Miss Lucas want to be the best at what she does? And what do you have to offer the world?
I never was a person who cared what people said about me. Because sometimes people get stuck in, oh, I can't move forward because that's not my friend, or they said this and that. But I've never, it just roll off my back. Like, so what if you like me? And so what if you do like me? I mean, I'm going to be me. And I'm very content. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people think I'm too content, but I don't need a lot to make me happy. Give me a chocolate chip cookie and I'm cool.
I'm trying to tell you.
Get excited. I like to study people. I thank God it's so amazing how he made every single one of us different and we all different shapes and sizes. Mm. I mean, that amazed me right there.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, it amazes me that, I don't know how to put it. I don't want to be racist because I have a friend. She thinks I'm racist.
Mm-hmm.
But it amazes me how our culture doesn't get along.
Right.
How we don't recognize how blessed we really are.
That's right.
How we don't realize how much talent that we have and superiority over other races that we have, and we don't never utilize it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to go and talk about Sunday night because, like, people say, well, that's what he should have done or shouldn't done. I didn't see it like that. I see it, they put us on center stage. And Jesus always said, turn the other cheek.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't do that. Now, I know love make you do crazy things because, Lord, believe me, I have done some cruel, Lord. Woo. But at the age I am at now, and I got to say he's, what, 10, 15 years older than me, I would not have done it at the position I am in now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 20 years ago, it would have been another story. It's only popping. But I have to say that we are always put in these positions where our emotions get the best of us because we are emotional beings.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's a time and a place. And our mental health for the black community came out front and center Sunday night.
Yeah. Well, that's a cry out. And the sad part, he's been crying for years. And because he is a superstar, no one has taken time out to actually help him. We would rather talk about him, look at him, instead of sit him down and say, look, I love you, I got you.
Yep.
Now, come on, let's break it down. Let's get to the root. Let's pull the root out. We don't want to do that. We want to laugh at you and say, we see you having a nervous breakdown. Let's see how far you're going to fall down. Let's see if you're going to roll on the ground, so slobbing on yourself because you're having a nervous breakdown. See, a lot of people have a nervous breakdown right now.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to face it. Nobody wants to acknowledge it.
Mm-hmm. You're exactly right. Because, you know, like for me, I suffer with mental depression and bipolar, where I'm, you know, that's what they call it, bipolar PTSD from things I've seen from my past. And it's a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have my highs are high, but my lows are low.
And that was Taraji said. She said the problem is a lot of. She said if you're black, you got PTSD coming out the womb.
Yeah, right.
You
for
said,
real.
She said, you forget that. She said, she said, all the stuff that we got to take, she said, if any other person had to take what we take, they would not take it. Because they'll tell you in a minute, you're not going to talk to me like that. You're not going to treat me like that. You're not going to do this to me. That, you know, so, but when it comes to us, we are supposed to just take anything and put a smile on our face and say everything's okay. And it's not okay. And our generation, we was taught just suck it up and keep it moving. And that's what we did.
Yes.
But the younger generation, they cannot handle it. And that's why you see more suicide in the younger generation. I have never seen so many young people taking their lives. They cannot take it.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's a big difference.
And, you know, I've been blessed. I've thought about it over the years, you know, maybe to take myself out. And then last year was a wake-up call. One of the friends that I used to stay with growing up, you know, he committed suicide. And that was eye-opening for me because you're no longer here on this earth. You don't know if you're in heaven or hell. You don't know what's out there, you know? And so it's kind of like, you know, I got to deal with it or do I work on it? But, you know, I think each day I wake up, I get another chance.
That's right.
And I swear, I feel like I'm the only man to go through. I mean, like, they say the devil always mess with the ones that he knows are chosen. And I'm telling you, when I wake up, he ready for me. He's like, oh, you smiling this morning. What we got to do today? you know, and it comes from anywhere. And it's like I sit back and I look at our culture. Because I love my people, but I see them here where I live at, and I'm like, we're the most self-centered people in this world. Where's the love? Mm-hmm. There's no love no more.
Mm-mm.
So how do you put your message out there about love?
I tell them, I said, one thing about it, you got to learn how to love yourself. So you can love others, and you got to realize the Bible said we all have sinned and come short of his glory. So we don't have, we can't point the finger at this person and that person and say this person is better than me and that person is not better than me. The word of God said we all have sinned and come short of his glory. So that way we can learn how to love each other and say, you know what, we all got shortcomings. Okay, she's down and he's down. Okay, now how can I lift them up? How can I make that person feel better without kicking them while they're down? We love to kick somebody when they're down. But how can we lift them up? How can we be the better person? Love covers a multitude of sins. And that's why a lot of people don't understand why do that woman in an abusive relationship, why does she keep on taking that person back? Because she loved that person.
Yes.
And she still have hope. She still think, you know, if I keep on loving this person, that person's going to change. But then one day it clicks. You know what? The person's not going to change. I got to learn how to love myself.
Yes. Yes. And you know what's so funny? Like you said, love covers the multitude of sins. And, you know, I thank God because I'm a sinner, but at the same time, I have love in my heart. I remember I was walking through the train station the other day. I had just bought me a meal. It was a $16 meal. I mean, I had that thing filled up from the buffet. And a homeless guy walked by me. He said, man, I don't even want no money. I just want something to eat. I kept walking. But then I turned back around, and I gave him my meal. I was like, I know that's going to fill him up.
I had that thing
filled, but it was like, you know what? I didn't eat today. Here, there you go. It's nothing. Or if I'm going to the doctor and I see a homeless person and I'm smoking a cigarette, he's like, I give it to him. It's just showing love. It doesn't matter who you are. We're just people. We're human beings.
And love goes a long way because love is an action word. God doesn't like lip service. Love is, what are you showing me? Can you show me what love is?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Can you, what is love? Love is, if you see that I'm sad and I'm having a bad day, put a smile on my face.
Mm-hmm.
Can you put a smile on my face? I don't got no money. I don't need no money.
That's
I need
right.
you to
yeah.
show me that you see me and you care about me and that you're there for me.
That you're exactly right. So I have a question. When you got into ministry, how was people perceiving you? Because you are a female, and you know how the Bible says that a woman should be, you know, a woman's place in the Bible. How do people perceive you as a minister at first?
I am blessed. I have always been surrounded by women pastors.
Okay.
Even as a child, I've seen women pastors. I'm blessed.
Yes. Awesome.
And just and so when I hear men say that, I said, show me where that says that at, because y'all love to repeat what other people say.
Yes.
And they go to that one scripture where Paul, he's talking to the group of women who are trying to tell their husbands what to do. And he said, here, silly woman. Yeah. He's talking to that particular culture, and he's talking to those particular people.
Exactly.
But a lot of people took that one scripture and they
ran with it. Yes, they did.
They ran with it, and that's not for all women. That's for those women there, because those women did not know their place.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, you silly women, keep your mouth closed. He called them silly women. You silly women, keep your mouth closed.
Yes.
But see, and I preach this all the time about women preachers. I said, let me tell y'all something. God has always used women. He used the judge Deborah. A man went to Deborah and asked her for help. And Timothy, before he became a bishop, who taught him? His mother and grandmother.
Yep.
His daddy was in the house, but his daddy didn't have a mind to preach
word.
But his mother did. His mother and his grandmother preached that word to him to the point that when he became a grown man, he was able to be a bishop. So they was preachers. When Paul traveled, he had women with him traveling, and it was preaching the word of God with him. So God has always used women preachers. And that's why a lot of people don't preach about those women in the Bible. But I do, because I want people to know that they are women in the Bible. That God
That's
has
right.
always
and you know what's funny? They say the most powerful book is not even in the Bible, and that's Mary Magdalene's book that she wrote about Jesus. But you can also read it, though. It is powerful. I have read it before. It is powerful.
There's so many Bibles that did not... There's so many books that did not make it into the Bible because it was just so huge. We wouldn't be able to pick up the Bible.
I know. I know it. So, when you started, what made you want to start writing and becoming an author after you got into your pastoring role?
I've been writing since I was a little bitty girl.
Oh, wow.
I remember when I was in the first grade, I could not read, and my first grade teacher, Mrs. Nelson, I don't remember anybody else, but I do remember her, and she made me repeat first grade over again, because one day she asked me, she said, do you know how to read? She told me to read out loud, and in my head, I'm reading. I'm looking at the pictures. I'm reading, and she pulled me to the side. Yes, because in my head, I thought I was reading, but she pulled me to the side. She took time out. And called my mother. She said, you know what? She has to repeat first grade. And she took time out, and she gave me all different kind of books. She said, what do you like? I said, I love mystery and thrillers. And she found all the books, I read them. I got so excited, so I started writing my own little stories at the first grade and the second grade. And I've been writing since, and one day in 2015, my pastor at the time, she said, you always writing. won't you write something and publish it? And I said, what am I going to write? I just didn't. And then I thought about it. I said, you know what? My mother left this earth not knowing her grandchildren. Her grandchildren didn't know her. I'm going to write about her. And after I wrote about her, I realized that book became a domestic violence book.
Wow. Wow. And you know what's funny? Like, my grandmother, she was the foundation of our household and all of her kids' household growing up. Her past, where she came from, what she went through as a woman. Because I know she went through domestic violence. Because, like you said, I know she went through domestic violence because when we headed in our house, she told my mama to still stay.
Yep.
So you know that it was passed down from generation to generation. So my daddy had to see it, to learn it, to be able to do it. So I really want to really understand and know who my grandmother was, because she was so strong. She would just sing them Bible songs all day long, and not knowing what she had been through in her life to bear 15 kids and only 9 living. And still be the stronghold to raise her grandchildren. You know, and for me, I know it'll probably be a little get back from family, but me and my family don't get along. Anyway, why do you always want to go open up something that needs to be closed? You shouldn't. I want to know.
That's right.
You know, I want to know. Can you name some of the books that you have written?
Yeah, my first book from 2015 is called Pompey, You Are Love, and that's my mother. And can I read something from there?
Oh, yes, definitely. I want to hear that voice tonight, too.
Okay. It says, Pompey was not able to face losing another person in her life, so therefore, this baby meant a lot to her. She was not emotionally stable to see or talk to Macaulay. She did not want to explain her feelings or hurt him. Instead, she wanted to go to church to get some peace. She was trying to find ways to survive this present problem that she was faced with. Every day, she would go visit her baby in the hospital, and Pompey would reminisce on how her mother made her go to church. Even though the both of them would go, she knew that her mother did not take church seriously. The next page is, so she never knew how to handle kindness. So what's going on is Pompey, baby, back in the day when we had a preemie, they kept him in the hospital for a minute. And so the baby had to stay in the hospital for a good 3 months. And so while she's visiting this baby, the daddy is visiting the baby too. And one day she takes the baby home, and she does not tell Macaulay, the baby daddy. And when he goes to the hospital, he's like, you know, where's my daughter? And they said, because you're not married, we can't tell you, you know. And he said, but that's my baby too. And it's, we're sorry, sir. And what Pompey did, this man loved her and she loved him, but because he was so good and so nice to her, she walked away. Because some women, we're so used to being punished and so used to being hurt and mistreated, we would rather accept that first than accept somebody to love them. And she did not accept that man, because that man truly loved her. So she walked away from him. So that's my first book. And then 2019, I was part of an anthology, which was my first anthology, called Fight and Joy in the Journey. I'm glad that I joined that group. It was women all over the world. We became number one international bestseller authors.
Mm.
So I give God a praise for that.
Congratulations. And,
yes, thank you. Thank you. And 2020, I wrote my first children's book, How I Feel on Any Given Day. It's about the days of the week. I did that because my son said, Mom, you've been working with children for a long time, because I am an educator. So I've been working with children since 1990. And so I said, I'm going to take some of the lessons that I've taught in a classroom and start putting them in my books. So for the example of the days of the week, I was showing the picture of a sun, and I asked them, what is this? And they said, that's the sunshine. I said, okay, what does the sun do? We start explaining about the sun, how it works and all that stuff. And I said, okay, when you say sun, what day of the week is connected to sun? And it's Sunday. So that's how that goes.
Yeah.
<You know?
laughs>
And then my second children's book is a trilogy, and it's about this little orange triangle girl and the blue circle boy. Well, she's in this world where everybody is blue circles, except for her and her family. And her name is Selisa Needs Love. And sometimes, no matter where we go, we stick out. We look different. We are different. But how does she handle being different? And who is her friend when she is different? So that's what that is, Selisa Needs Love. And so in 2021, I wrote the book about the Godhead, because the Godhead is basically Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5 to 6, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Because a lot of people, when you say the Godhead, they look at you like, what is that? So it's the one Lord.
I'm trying to tell you. See, I actually studied Christian ministries. I was like, I'm still like 6 months from getting my bachelor's degree, but my financial aid ran out in that. And when you start explaining to people about the Godhead and all that, they get crazy. I'm like, oh, Lord, let me be quiet. They're really not educated. And these are ministers.
Yeah, and that's why I wrote that, because a lot of people who are in the church, they don't talk about the Godhead, and they avoid the book of Acts.
Yep.
So I try to break it down as easy and, you know, as pleasant as possible, because I am a visual learner. So when I was going to school, all that talking, I just got on my last nerves. And when I tell people that, yeah, people laugh, because they be like, how you a teacher and you an author? But it just get on my nerve. Like, break it down for me. Make it plain.
I ain't lying. Because I know me, when I get to church and you get to talking too long, I'm be like, all right, I'm about to head out. And it was so funny, because my uncle is a bishop and I live with him, right? So me and my auntie, we'll go to church. She's smart one. She'd be like, when I give you the signal, we give it a roll on out of here, buddy. Because you know how your uncle is. We'll leave everybody else in church and me and her be gone. And she the bishop's wife. I love that. She was the glue. I'm trying to tell you. She said, because you know when your uncle gets the treats too long, boy, we got to go. We got to roll them over, baby.
I have done that. Look, we have visited churches. People have went with me. We visit churches. And when they start talking crazy, I don't have to say anything. I just give them an eye. They already know. Get your stuff. Let's go.
Yeah. What about your future plans and businesses you got coming up?
Well, so many businesses. I know a lot of people want me to be on TV, and I need, they've been begging me to get on television, and I'm like, the sad part is I always push others. But I'm terrified to get on TV.
Yeah.
And the reason why I'm terrified to get on TV, I don't want to change. I've seen people who get the big headed, and you can't talk to them anymore.
Oh, you will be fine.
Even though, I don't know. Because I don't know. If I get that Telsa,
and the mesh,
yeah.
I don't know.
Girl, I'm trying to tell you, when my mentor put me on air one day, I was on TV, girl, I thought I was in heaven. I was like, let's do this. I thought I would be nervous. I was like, shoot, I'm ready. I'm time, man. Let's do this. You know? I couldn't let that day. I was like, shoot, I'm live on television. I'm talking trash.
Yeah, so it's coming. I'm going to be on TV eventually. I just got to work myself up there. I just want to be humble before the Lord. I don't want to get to the point where can't nobody say anything to me or tell me, look, come back down, you know. So, because
yeah.
I still
yeah.
do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And you, you know what? I don't even think it's like come back down, like, some people don't want you to be super happy.
Right, right.
Like some think you what do they call it? Showing off or yeah,
yeah,
but you're not. You're like, dude, you know, and it hurts your feelings.
Mhm.
It really does, and it makes you want to separate yourself from the world. And it's funny to me because it's like for me, I'm always doing something. Always doing something to try to promote my brand or do this or do that or do that or do this. And I'm always, every day is something new. And it's like you get let down when people think that you were trying to do too much. It's like, this is what I'm doing. You can do the same thing. You get up in the morning and do it.
Right, right.
If I get up in the morning and I'm linking up with somebody and I'm telling them, hey, Winky, can I get this interview? Can I do this? Can I do that? That means I'm working on my brand. This is what I want. This is what I'm going hard for, and some people don't get it. They think, oh, you're just showing off. I'm like, no, this is what I'm doing. I'm getting up in the morning. I'm going to get it. From the time I wake up, I'm at work trying to get it at the same time because I don't want to have to go work that hard job for the rest of my life.
I know that.
you know? So we have to do that. And I'm so excited that we give it a start. A bit. Girl, I need to get the contract. My contract girl said, I can't do your contract now because I got to work two jobs. I'm like, oh, my God. So I just can't wait till we start doing this business because I don't want to work no more. but you know, the fearsome part for me is, you know, stepping out on faith like you said and trusting in God that he's going to make it all worthwhile, you know. There's a part of me that's scared, and it's a part of me is like, okay, what if I don't have no income that day? What if I don't, you know what I mean?
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
It's that fear factor for me. Because for real, I shouldn't be working now. But I'm just so scared to just drop everything and just invest in myself.
Right, and that's what we need to do. We need to invest in ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we have to take classes, I tell people all the time, say, if you don't have any money, guess what? Be an intern.
Uh-huh.
Because you can learn all this for free. You know
yes.
why? Some people go into college trying to learn it, and you go to college, you're paying them all that money, and you still don't know what's going on. But if you're an intern, you learn all that, and if they like it, they hire you.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're definitely right. You're definitely right. You know, and so the other day I was thinking, you know, I was like, man, I need a job that's going to work around my schedule. I'm not going to put my business out there because last time I did the Department of DDS was calling me. But
oh, Lord.
But I walked into this job today because for me to want to focus on my career and what I want to do, I walked in this job today. I said, y'all need some help. They was like, yep. They asked me what I needed. I said, I need this much. I handed them a piece of paper. And I said, I need these days off. Indeed. The Chinese man said, go sit down. I'm like, what? He said, you're not leaving. So my
That's
orientation. Yeah, my orientation is tomorrow, and
I'm going to be start working, and I get paid for the orientation as well. And they gave me 50 cents less than what I asked for. But you cannot beat that. And I'm not in no warehouse working hard. I'm around food. I'm like, let's do it.
I know that.
And I also get to work around my schedule, where that means I can put more into my career than somebody else's.
I know, because it's easy to help build others, so it's time to help build yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I told him I need every Tuesday off for my show. So she said no to. Yep, no Tuesday.
I know that.
So I'm very great. All they care, they want me to work the weekend, which is fine, because I always can request days off. So I'm truly blessed in that aspect. I want to thank God for that opportunity. And it's funny, because our people still, Daniel, man, you could have came and worked with us, man, and made this much. But I'm like, if I go and make that much, they're going to want me there when they want me there.
Right.
I have no leeway or no flexibility. With this, I can basically set my own schedule.
That's real good right there.
Mm-hmm. So, Miss Lucas, where can mm-hmm. we find your books at? And we want a tune. Now, before we even go on the book, we want a tune, because you didn't tell everybody you was a singer, too.
Well, the single I got out now is called When I Was Nothing, God Loved Me. And that's, you know, you type that up or go to Amazon. It's on there, and Spotify. But it goes on, when I was nothing, God loved me. When I was nothing, 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 he cared. When I was nothing, God loved me. When I was nothing, 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 he cared. And it's a whole song, but it's basically
Boom! Let me find out, Miss Lucas. Do you do your church live on Facebook?
Yes. Yes.
You have to send us the
every
link, and
Sunday
I will post it.
I get on there, preach the word. Mm-hmm.
Good. You're gonna have to give me that link so I can post it on the office lounge so people can tune in.
Okay.
Yeah,
yes,
because I'm definitely gonna tune in.
My first and last name. Go ahead. I'm
okay.
Sorry.
Okay. Because I'm definitely going to be tuning in. Yes, that was beautiful. See, y'all see why this was nominated number one internet radio show. All that talent. Woo, Miss Lucas, that was fire. Definitely. So how big is your church congregation?
We're growing right now. Is about 20 of them.
Okay.
And we're growing, and I just joined this bigger organization, which is international.
Uh-huh.
And about to get ordained in this organization as an overseer.
Oh, okay.
And they're going to put churches under me.
Oh, wow. Ooh. Well,
I think about that scripture that said, if you be faithful over little things, God will bless you over many. And I'm like, wow, it's happening so fast. I was like, okay, Lord, you must get me ready. Got me prepared.
That's amazing.
Yes, it is. I give God a praise.
Well, I tell you, once I decide to turn a new leaf, I might have to let you put me under your little wing and train me a little bit.
All right.
I believe it's coming. I've been really going back and forth about, you know, just go ahead and being faithful. You know, doing what I need to do. Because mm-hmm. we ain't got too much longer on this earth.
Right.
And you never know. You can't plan nothing today, because everybody's just dropping like flies. And it's a crazy world we live in.
Yep, we just have to be ready.
And I want to thank you for coming on the Author's Lounge tonight. Give the people your social media outlet so they can get your books, they can follow you.
Well, that's where you come in, because as a group, you and I and Angela, that we're gonna.
We have to tell them that we got to talk about that.
We're going to be printing these books out. We're going to be printing the books out. We're not going to, because my books right now is on Amazon, but we are going to be printing the books out to cut the middleman out. So that's our goal. That's what we're going to do. And so you can, if you type my first and last name, my last name is L-U-C-U-S. If you type in Tamela Lucas, you will see my YouTube will come up, my Instagram, Tumblr, Twitter. I have 6 different podcasts, Spotify, Google, Pocket Cast, Radio, Public, Apple, Listen Notes. Some of my sermons is still on Periscope, even though they got rid of it. I love Periscope because I was reaching people all over the world. It's just everywhere. And just type my name, or you can type in Come Home, Stop Talking About It. And you'll see all my stuff on there, too.
That is awesome. You know, I'm so honored to be working with, you and Angela, because that woman pushes me. When I don't feel like I don't want to do nothing, and I'll be like, nope, I don't want to do it. That woman said, uh-uh. And she'd be throwing me on a fly. I'd be like, who told you I wanted to do that? I don't be wanting to do that. I want to be alone. And she just pushes me. And I love it, because if not for her, I wouldn't have the energy or the drive to do what she does. And she just pushes me, like the poetry. So I'm like, next thing you know, I'm on a flyer. And now I'm like, oh, now I got to do it, you know. But it's amazing, because she keeps me afloat. She keeps me relevant. She keeps me going. And it's a blessing that I have you two in my corner, and that we're going to be business partners. And we're going to do something different from the office, because we learn from our mistakes to try to help them, you know. And that's the main thing. It's about love and, you know, being there for one another. And that's what I like. And I'm the young one, so I'm going to be the one running around with the head cut out. They're going, oh, Angela Young, but I've got to pull them back in. There you go. But I'm just so busy, and I'm always fired up to do different stuff. I want to thank you for coming on the show tonight. And
Thank you.
Is there anything you got to say, Miss Mona? Oh, I don't think she's here. But I want to thank y'all for tuning in to Drip the Mic tonight. And thank y'all for another great show. Thank you for tuning in to the Author's Lounge. Call in at 646-378-0355. Thank you all, and have a blessed night. Goodbye.
I don't need no makeup when they wake up. For the ones who rockin' lace fronts, you know, I ain't gon' say nothing. Hashtag me your single, you fresh off the breakup. For the introverts, no, we don't gotta say much.